This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:16. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. We're now moving on to talk about schools, something that we've discussed so many times over the course of this year, the last year, just because of how fraught with issues they've continued to be. So based on a report in the NSD yesterday, primary and secondary schools nationwide will be going back to home-based online teaching and learning after the school holidays, after the Raya break, basically. Just to reiterate, this is going to impact 2.7 million students in nearly 8,000 primary schools, 2.8 million students in secondary schools, and 270,000 students in boarding schools. This, of course, is coming on the wake of more and more education clusters popping up, which brings about the question of how are we going to continue doing this?
Yeah, and also, why are we waiting? I mean, if we look at the clusters, right, and if we look at the facts and the numbers, and if we even look today at the clusters that we talked about earlier, there is really this question of why have we set what appears to be a sort of arbitrary deadline in order to switch, if it is, if in fact we are planning to switch. And I bring that up partly because the if is important. There has been a push from many, many people for schools to remain open, whether it is parents, whether it's teachers, whether it's NGOs, simply because they provide a function, right? A very important function that learning online simply cannot accommodate, but also they are a leveler, and that is important. We've spoken about this ad nauseum, how many more students need to climb into trees for us to realize that there is a huge digital divide, whether it's in terms of internet, whether it's in terms of devices. And a year on, I don't think much has changed in that area, even as we return to online learning.
Yes, and as we return to online learning, we're no closer to solving these issues, because we're still talking about how many members of the B40 group can't afford to do online schooling in the spaces that they live in with the devices that they have. That's not to say going back to school is necessarily the easiest either,
no.
Because when you think about purchasing even face masks or face shields, if you want to go one step further, not everyone can afford that consistently. So a whole host of issues. And 1 year seems like a long time to continue talking about these. So that's where a lot of this, I think the legitimate frustration that we're hearing from parents, teachers, and students is coming from. We want to know what you think. Schools will revert back to online learning after the Raya break. What are your thoughts on this? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 0187898899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We're now joined by Chu Mei, who is the head of coaching and support at Teach for Malaysia. Mei, thanks for joining us.
Hi, welcome. My pleasure.
So let's first start with the education minister's move to close schools after the Raya break. What do you make of this?
Yeah, I think, you know, going back to home-based learning will definitely set children back. Like you said, I think the needle hasn't moved much on access to devices and connectivity. And so from an equity perspective, doing what we can to keep schools open in a safe way as far as possible should be the first priority, which, you know, MOE has been doing. But I think, yeah, like you said, it's not an easy, you know, black or white, because I think going back to home-based learning also would be an extra burden for parents, especially working parents who need to figure out or pay for additional childcare arrangements. But I think with the rise in cases, I think it definitely makes sense. It's clear that it's not really safe to keep schools open, and a circuit breaker of sorts may be helpful.
So while we're talking about safety, how would you evaluate the existing SOPs for schools, especially when it comes to dealing with the cases that have been emerging?
Yeah, I think the day-to-day SOPs are actually quite strong. There's, you know, very long documents about what schools should be doing. And of course, the question of whether it's followed would largely depend on the overall enforcement in the school. But I think the main concern is it's more about when should a school be closed, right? So I think there was some confusion about whether a school should stay open or closed when there is positive cases emerging. So I think even a few days ago, there was a statement from Deputy Education Minister Dr. Ma Hang Soon, who said that okay, all schools must close for 2 days if there are positive cases. So I think that's where some of the confusion has been. But I think maybe something to consider is whether schools should actually have the autonomy to make such decision around school closures. So for instance, I'm not sure if closing schools in a state like Perlis, where there are very few cases happening, is actually beneficial for students. So I think what we've seen globally in some other developed countries is that keeping schools open is an essential priority. So in Japan, strict SOP enforcement is in place, and even in states of emergency, they keep schools open and leaving the decisions of school closures to government and school leaders. I think that would be something to consider.
And what about the teachers? How are they coping since school reopened?
I think it's certainly mixed. On one hand, I think many teachers appreciate being able to teach in person because it's really just not the same, and to see their students. I think some have creatively leveraged on distance learning from the last year to explore new ways of blended learning. But I think on the other hand, there's naturally more responsibilities and more duties that they have to take on to ensure that the SOP is followed. So I think it's definitely a mix on that.
We wanted to talk about inequality, right? And we touched on the digital divide earlier, but something else has also come up, which is the things that we need in order to stay safe. So things like face masks, hand sanitizers. Mm. Have you been hearing about cases where families have struggled to buy these items and provide them for their children?
I think to this point, I think masks are relatively affordable, and I think many people are using reusable ones these days. So I think generally, I don't think it's been a huge issue, but I'm sure there are students whose families are not able to afford those as sort of a basic necessity.
And what happens when they can't afford these masks or sanitizers? Does the school manage it for them?
Yeah, from my understanding, I think schools have been able to provide masks and sanitizers, so that's been good. That being said, I think schools have been open for just a month for secondary schools and 2 months for primary schools. So I hope that this is something that they'll be able to provide in the long term. Yeah.
And returning to the move for students to learn online for 2 weeks after Raya, how well has the government addressed the problem with accessibility to digital devices?
Yeah, I think like you said earlier, I think there is still a huge gap. I think last year, MOE survey showed that 37% or more than 1.5 million students did not have access to a device. We don't know the latest numbers on this, but I don't think it has closed significantly. And there have been delays to the TRADIC program, which aims to roll out 150 devices to students. I think there's also a global shortage on devices. So I think procuring these devices also will take some time. There's also this other program, the program Jaringan Prihatin, that will offer subsidy to households with school-going children to either purchase new phones or telco. But so I think overall there have been good efforts, but I think the gap is definitely still very present.
Now, we know that this is going to happen, that we're going to revert to online learning. What options do parents currently have if they don't feel safe now to send their kids to school?
Unfortunately, schools aren't really catering to sort of a hybrid or home-based rotational system. But of course, Didic TV is still ongoing, and there are a lot of online materials now. So we ourselves at CFM, we partnered with YTL Foundation to create the Learn From Home initiative, which has over 1,000 online lessons for students from Standard 1 to Form 5, covering English, Math, Science, and BM. I think the most important is to communicate closely with the teachers on what is being taught in school, and ensuring that the kids are getting the material or engaging in related material online or through textbooks, so that they don't fall too far behind from their peers. I think that would be crucial.
May, thanks again for speaking with us today.
My pleasure.
That was Chu Mei, Head of Coaching and Support at Teach for Malaysia, weighing in on the fact that we are going to go back to online learning after the Raya break. And we have been asking you for your thoughts, and we have a couple of messages. We have this from Adeline.
Yeah, so Adeline says, why close schools after Raya and not now? Schools are opening and closing every 2 days. This shows that there are so many cases there. And it's so inconvenient for parents. Most daycares are closed as well, and then we need to work. We have no choice but to be on standby for school closures and reopenings. Just close it once and for all for the time being.
I think Adeline's frustration speaks to something a lot of parents are feeling, the sense of uncertainty and of just going back and forth on different things. And the fact that, yes, many schools are already having to close. Every time there's a case, they're required to close for 2 days. So this in itself is a disruption. So I can understand that frustration. And we have Charlie saying, if you are opening schools, you might as well open Parliament once and for all. How is it different? Most in Parliament have received their vaccines, but not students, teachers, or parents.
Parliament. We miss you. I think everybody misses you. And, you know, honestly, the more time passes, right, with Parliament not actually opening, the more messages like, you know, yours, Charlie, will continue to come in and make even more sense than ever, especially because the vaccination rollout is continuing. And just to say, not to pivot too far from education, but it's interesting because it's not a unified front in the case of Parliament. There are lots and lots of politicians calling actually for Parliament to be reopened. So I don't exactly know where it stands, but I agree entirely with you. I think that Parliament needs to reopen.
And the voices are actually increasing as days go by. So keep those thoughts coming. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Coming up after this on Popcorn Culture, we'll be throwing back to Scott Pilgrim versus the World, which is 11 years old this year. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.